Welcome to Small Business Spoonfuls Podcast, a laid-back discussion of the serious HR topics and trends of today. Sponsored by helpdeskforhr.com.
Hey, compliance warriors and bosses. Welcome to another episode of Small Business Spoonfuls. I'm Lisa Smith, and in this episode, I'm following up on my promise from earlier to go over a story that actually happened a couple of weeks ago now that I don't think a lot of people have heard about. And it involved some tweets on the platform X, formerly known as Twitter. And these tweets were discussing DEI or DIE or however you want to say it, DEI initiatives in the workplace when it comes to recruiting and hiring. And so I think a lot of people would argue that if you have a DEI program, that your hiring decisions may be affected based on race, gender, national origin, skin color, ethnicity, all sorts of different checkpoints that many times DEI initiatives address. And so I think it's interesting that the government takes a different position than a lot of people might take. And so in this conversation that took place on X through a series of tweets, I don't know why we don't call them X's now, but anyway, series of tweets, Mark Cuban literally got schooled by the EEOC. So let me tell you a little bit about this story, and I hope that you send me some voice messages or write me some emails or, you know, contact me and let me know what you think about this and if this is surprising to you or not. So, you know who Mark Cuban is. He's a billionaire, and he was recently sold the Dallas Mavericks. So he used to own him for millions of years. Long time. And of course, he is a well-known shark on the Shark Tank. So he was going back and forth on this post that this member on X is called the Rabbit Hole. Okay, so this is someone or an organization or whatever who's on there commenting on and posting about a lot of things. And so they were posting about DEI initiatives, and they have some very strong opinions about DEI and that it doesn't work and lots of things like that, right? So they're already a little bit polarizing. And apparently Mark Cuban thought it was an interesting conversation and jumped in and made a tweet that says that he regularly hired based on gender or race because he saw it as a competitive advantage to his organization. As a matter of fact, I'll read to you what he actually said. So maybe I quoted that just a little bit wrong. Let me read his actual, because it's a little bit of, he kind of talks out of two sides of his mouth. Okay, so he says, "I've never hired anyone based exclusively on race, gender, or religion. I only ever hire the person that will put my business in the best position to succeed." And here we go with the second part here. And he says, "And yes, race and gender can be a part of the equation. I view diversity as a competitive advantage." So he kind of says two things in his tweet here. "I've never done this exclusively." Okay, fine. "But yes, race and gender can be a part of the equation on which he makes the decisions." So once he tweeted that, he was met with just a ton of people firing back, telling him how wrong he was and that anyone who hires on the basis of race or gender is racist. And he got a lot of fire raining down on him. And so, you know, he fired back a little bit here and there and everything. But he just had a ton of people weighing in. And so for some folks, they might have seen this and they might have said, well, that's part of his DEI. You know, he's going to look at the most qualified people. And then if there's a variable based on race or gender that he feels is advantageous for his company, he's going to choose that equally qualified individual with that being the tiebreaker. And some organizations would say that's the correct way to do it. Some would argue that that's racism. And so that went back and forth. And then, much to a lot of people's surprise, the EEOC commissioner got into the conversation. So the commissioner's name is Andrea Lucas. And she wrote to Cuban and said that he was dead wrong when it came to discrimination law. I'll read exactly what she said. So she said, EEOC commissioner here, unfortunately, you're dead wrong on black letter Title VII law. As a general rule, race, sex can't even be a motivating factor, nor a plus factor, tiebreaker, or tipping point. It's important employers understand the ground rules here. That's what she tweeted. Then she came back and she tweeted again, and she cited employment law, and she linked out to the EEOC's race and color discrimination guidance. And so I found that to be interesting. She went on to say, the question was asked, can race or sex be part of the equation for an employment decision as long as it isn't the but-for factor, is the question. And the answer was generally no. Title VII uses motivating factor liability. And then she goes on to say, this isn't an opinion. Reasonable minds can't disagree on this point. It's the plain text of Title VII. So that was an interesting set of tweets. Now, I went out and I read several different articles on this, and, you know, I saw where there is so much in maybe, I don't know, maybe we call it confusion, misunderstanding, differing opinions, whatever it might be. But the EEOC commissioner says, there's no way to have a differing opinion on this if you read the plain text of Title VII. So where is the confusion coming in then? Why do people believe that race or gender, for example, can be a tipping point or a tiebreaker or something that is included in the decision of who you're going to hire? And so I've read some things. I read one article from HR Dive, and they had an unnamed attorney who they interviewed, but they said that attorney said that trying to recruit a diverse pool of candidates shouldn't be a problem. That if you have diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives that are not tied to hiring decisions, then you're less likely to run afoul of discrimination law. So that was interesting. They also went on to say that America First Legal, which is a conservative nonprofit, has filed a number of complaints with the EEOC alleging discrimination in DEI initiatives at major corporations. So America First Legal says that they've targeted Major League Baseball for running diversity programs. that were supposedly exclusively to provide development opportunities for qualified minority and female candidates. This nonprofit has also filed complaints against American Airlines, United Airlines, and Southwest Airlines for discriminatory practices in their hiring and retention programs aimed at women and people of color. And then there was a list of other companies as well that have been involved in some of these actions. So maybe you've heard this argument, or maybe this argument is just something that is coming up that you've not thought about before. But I think what the EEOC was telling us here, Ms. Lucas was telling us, was that if it is the tiebreaker, the tipping point, the ultimate reason that you chose a person to hire, then it's wrong. Whether it's that the person was white, which has been, you know, happening for years, or that the person was male, which has been happening for years. Okay, so we all agree that, you know, hiring exclusively the white male is wrong, or hiring exclusively the white male or female is wrong. But that would exclude any other equally qualified candidate. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to look at all of the equally qualified candidates. And we're not going to exclude because someone is of a particular race, whether it be white or, you know, purple. It doesn't matter, right? It does not matter. Discriminating because someone is white is just as bad as discriminating because someone is black, according here to the EEOC. So that's the thing we've got to remember. We are going to have to find other ways to break the tie. And so, of course, we want to cast a wide net. We want to have a very diverse pool of candidates. And we always talk about, too, we want to have a diverse organization, the people that we've hired. We want to see a lot of diversity, a lot of equity, not just diversity, but equity and inclusion. And see, I think that all of those things are fine and good and should be part of the conversation. But apparently we've been a little off the beaten path because we haven't really realized the fact that our decision to hire cannot be made because someone is a minority. Everything else being equal, it cannot be only because they're a minority. So what the EEOC is telling us here is that we've got to find another reason for who we hire. It can't just be, well, you know, Lisa and John are both, you know, of the same, you know, qualifications. They're wonderful. But Lisa's a woman and we need a few extra chicks in here. So we're going to hire Lisa. So we can't do that. That is illegal, according to Title VII, as shown by the EEOC Commissioner, Ms. Lucas. So it gives us something to think about, doesn't it? So what are the tiebreakers? If we think everything is equivalent on qualifications and experience and, you know, all the stuff is equal, what's the tiebreaker? Well, there will be a tiebreaker. There will be. I mean, there's going to be something that one candidate or the other is better at or worse at or something than strictly going on their gender, their race, their national origin, you know, whatever it might be, anything related, religion, anything related to Title VII. I mean, there have been employers who the tiebreaker would be, well, I think candidate A is a Christian because she had a cross on. So that's going to be my tiebreaker. I think she would fit in better here since I'm also a Christian. And see, that would be illegal. And so we want to really be careful about that. So we want to have, you know, if we have a DEI initiative, great. That's, you know, not a problem. But we just want to make sure we use it the right way. We use it as a tool, as an equalizer, but not kind of sort of as a weapon. the way that the EEOC explained this here, right? So it can't be the tiebreaker, the tipping point, any part of the equation that puts the extra check mark in somebody's box that gets them hired. Okay, so there you go. So take a look at that. Go out and Google Mark Cuban, EEOC, X tweets, or, you know, anything like that. Go out and find, you know, search around. I'll put a link in the show notes too, so you can have a link to an article that I referred to here. And, you know, just kind of see what you think about it. And don't send me hate mail and tell me that I'm awful and, you know, that I am promoting the death of DEI initiatives. You know, I'm not. I think everybody needs to be fair and equal and inclusive and diverse, and that's all wonderful. But I do see the point that the EEOC commissioner was making, because that's a very fine sticking point that I think maybe Mark Cuban didn't fully understand. And did he mean to be racist? I mean, they beat him up on X like he was totally a big racist, you know, but he didn't, I don't think, I mean, I can't read his mind, but I don't think he meant to be racist. I think he was saying, we do everything we can to choose the person who's going to give us the competitive advantage. And if that draws a line between, you know, black and white or male or female or whatever, that's what we're going to do. And so, you know, yeah, in its purest form, that could be seen as a racist comment. Okay, I get that. So anyway, we have to just, that's a conversation we have to have in our workplaces. And we have to look at ourselves and what we do, and we have to be very honest. And then we have to say, is there anything about our process that we need to fix based on this explanation? Because I know, and I can't wait to hear from you all, I know there are going to be some folks out there who are like, I never thought about it that way. Never. And that's okay. That just may be purely innocent. It doesn't mean you're a racist. It just means that you didn't fully understand the not only the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And so that's something to consider. So anyway, there you go. There's another little spoonful for you. I hope you enjoyed it. And I'm going to sign off of here. Come back next time. I will have more hot topics for you. Maybe something that'll make you a little happy, a little mad, a little sad, or a little argumentative. Either way, I welcome it. Bring it on. So until next time, go out there, be a boss that you know you are, and be audit secure. Talk to you next time.
If you would like to learn more about our team and the services we provide, head over to helpdeskforhr.com. Our 8,000 plus members enjoy the essential training, tools, and support they need to keep up with ongoing legal changes, as well as maintaining solid HR and employment law compliance. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you like what you hear, we'd love to hear from you, either by leaving us a review, or you can email us at support@helpdeskforhr.com.